This is Dan Schaefer, guest hosting for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you all for tuning in. We are here with Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, who was able to successfully prevent a Republican supermajority in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Pretty important. We're staring down a pretty uncertain future if they were able to add the 5 seats that they needed to get that 2/3 supermajority threshold. We don't have to worry about that prospect anymore. But I think, you know, I think now would be a good time perhaps to reflect on some of those individual races that you were able to, you know, get into, because not only were you able to prevent the supermajority, you know, the thinking going into the election was that Republicans would be able to add a couple seats. And by just, I think, about 1,000 votes across 3 races, you were extremely close to being able to just break even, even though the Republicans drew a map that gave themselves a path to a supermajority. So I think some of those, you know, key races that we talked about before, Steve Doyle winning, Lori Palmieri winning. We also had 3 races, the 33rd district, where Don Vruwink lost by about 250 votes. Laura Gapsky in the Superior area, I believe, or in the 73rd district, lost by just a couple hundred votes. And Lou Ann Bird in the 84th, who I wrote about quite a bit at the recombobulation area. She came up just short of defeating Bob Donovan in the 84th as well. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, reflect a little bit about some of those races and how you were able to, you know, get as close as you did to breaking even in face of some pretty insurmountable odds?
Yeah, no, thank you for this question. And I just have to say that I just have so much respect for all these folks who went into it knowing that it was going to be tough. And it was. All of them were faced with negative campaigning against them that was misleading, that provoked, in some cases, threats against them and their families. It is really hard to run for office right now, particularly in these competitive seats. And when I was recruiting people to run in these seats, that was clear, you know, to the folks that I talked to, that they knew what they were signing up for. They knew that it was going to be really hard. And that, frankly, running in a seat that's competitive is the hardest thing to do right now, right? You might think, oh, running in a seat that's really red. Absolutely. They're all hard. I shouldn't, you know, put them on a hierarchy, but it is not fun to have hundreds of thousands of dollars spent against you, spreading misinformation, right? About your record, about the things you stand for. So, you know, I'll start with Laura Gapsky in that vein. This was one of the most negative campaigns that I've actually ever seen. We talked to a couple of women up in this area before Laura decided to run and heard really significant concerns from those women about their safety and their family's safety. And I am very sorry to say that that really did bear out in this race. Laura's personal cell phone number was shared publicly on pieces of mail, and she received significant threats and harassment, including someone showing up at her house and refusing to leave, the locations that she hosted events being targeted as well. It was really challenging. And so it is just heartbreaking to see this loss for Laura, especially when we know that her opponent was part of that dynamic, because she is someone who vocally supported the insurrection, you know, does not condemn political violence, and allowed these attacks to happen against Laura. So that's a real tough loss, both because it's just hard to see someone like Angie coming into the legislature and see Laura's incredible hard work, you know, not succeed in this election. And it also means that, unfortunately, we lost some northern Wisconsin seats. We had 3 seats up there in the most northern parts of Wisconsin in 73, where we have Laura Gapsky running, John Adams in 74, and then Kelly Westland working to hold on to the Senate seat invested. It's It's tough. We know that those districts are moving away from us a bit, have been over the last couple of years, but Laura did come so close. It was 2%, a 2% margin. And so, you know, there are seats where we'll be back. We think there's a lot to talk about in terms of Angie's background and record on the issues. And so we will absolutely be competing there in the future. I'll pause. Should I keep going?
No, it's, you know, what you talked about with that race in particular, it's so tough to hear because it's not what our politics should be. And, we should be competing on the issues, and we have so few competitive races in the state of Wisconsin. You'd think, the type of competitive spirit that we have in the state would bring out the best of people. But unfortunately, considering the candidate in particular in that race, really fueled a lot of negativity and some sounds like pretty frightening experiences for the campaign there.
Yeah. And it's tough, right? I'm going to be starting pretty soon again, recruiting people to run in the next cycle. And it is really hard to ask people both to make these, personal sacrifices of their time and their energy for months and months, but also to potentially subject themselves to this. And I do think it's worth pointing out that, between some volunteers who had threats made towards them while they were out campaigning and candidates and incumbents, our experience here in Wisconsin is that is directed much more towards women. And that is just very difficult to see because, of course, we want to be recruiting female candidates going forward.
Yeah, there were so many great candidates who are women running in this election cycle in particular. We're going to talk about this later in the show too, but just, I think women in general, really showing up at the polls and women winning, at the polls was a big story to come out of the midterms, just kind of at large. But I think also, you have 99 seats to worry about, in the assembly. And so bringing, women out there to run in these races is so important. And we are going to wrap up this segment and talk about some of those women that you're going to have in your caucus going forward. This is Dan Schaefer with As Goes Wisconsin. This is Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin. I am joined for much of this hour by Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, who was part of the campaign that successfully prevented a supermajority in the Republican controlled Wisconsin state legislature. We've been talking a little bit about some of the individual races, talking about the election in general, but now you have the Democratic caucus that you will go into next session with. And I had a source share with me some information about the makeup of the Assembly Dems going into this caucus. We have 57% of them will be women, 34% people of color, and 25% people 35 and under. So a young, diverse group of mostly women that we will have in the Democratic caucus heading into 2023. Is that exciting?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have a great caucus. We have a number of new folks this year who are coming in to join us that we're really thrilled to have in the caucus. We had a number of new members last cycle as well, and they all started during COVID. And so we have, a lot of folks who are kind of getting back into the swing of things here in terms of being in person, and just think we're all excited to get back to Madison and get to work.
Well, that's right. We still can get to work with the Wisconsin State Legislature. They've been on a little break for a while under Republican leadership, but there's still an opportunity to get back and get to work. So as you look ahead to, kind of what that work will be, what are some of the priorities you have going into the next session, and what are some of your expectations for how things are going to unfold?
Yeah. So, as I said, I think really there's a choice facing Wisconsin Republicans in the legislature. They can continue to do everything they can to stonewall Governor Evers and Democrats, Many listeners probably know that heard the statistic that less than 2% of bills proposed by Democrats last cycle were even given a committee hearing in the assembly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I mean, partisanship really has been just running absolutely rampant in Wisconsin. And our members for years have been doing everything they can to build relationships across the aisle and try to find opportunities to move their bills forward. Even if that means that they say, I don't need to have my name on that. That's okay. Go ahead and take the bill. I just want this to pass because it's the right thing for the people of Wisconsin. But I hope, as I said, that now that Governor Evers is back in office, you know, Republican leadership will allow more good policy to move forward. And I do think there are a number of things that we all agree on, particularly that Wisconsinites want us to move on. We all know that the 1849 criminal abortion ban in Wisconsin, with no exceptions, is something that is widely opposed by Wisconsinites. Republicans have indicated some interest in coming to the table on that. I hope that they're genuine. They've ignored Governor Evers' two special sessions to come in and debate this issue. But we know that this is something that both really motivated people to come out to the polls and will continue to be something that Wisconsinites care about going forward. I'm hopeful that we can make some good investments in our public schools and address childcare shortages in Wisconsin. You know, these are, again, widely popular ideas. We again saw a majority of referendums on the ballot this election cycle to give more money to public schools by raising people's property taxes pass. Overwhelmingly, these have passed in Wisconsin over the past several years. And so I hope we can say, all right, we've got a really significant surplus here and we should use it to pay for the things, to invest in the things that Wisconsinites have been asking us for years.
Yeah, I think the conversation over the surplus is going to be a big one. It's, roughly $5 billion surplus that we have in Wisconsin right now. So it's going to be really important to, you know, figure out what the best way to make those decisions about how to use that surplus in a long-term sense. But I do wonder if Governor Evers getting reelected kind of changes the dynamic, because I think so much of what we saw for the past 4 years in the legislature was Robin Voss and state Republicans kind of doing what I've considered playing legislative keep away for much of the last 4 years, you know, denying those public hearings that you talked about, gaveling in and out of sessions, refusing to confirm appointments, you know, going on these months long breaks, even when the governor calls special sessions. You know, I think their motive for that was to try to make Tony Evers a one-term governor in large part. They failed at that. And so perhaps, you know, there's an opportunity now. There are all of these issues that have majority support. You mentioned, you know, getting rid of the 1849 unclear and outdated abortion ban in the state. You know, we've had special sessions on, you know, expanding background checks for gun rights. Expanding Medicaid, increasing public school funding, legalizing marijuana, implementing some sort of paid leave law, which had majority support in the latest Marquette poll. So there's a lot of things that Wisconsinites do agree on that have come against the blockade of Robin Voss and legislative Republicans. You know, hopefully, they're not able to make it Tony Evers a one-term governor anymore. So maybe they can come to the table and get some work done.
Right. No, I absolutely agree. I do feel more hopeful about this session. I think when you're looking at 4 years for Governor Tony Evers, you cannot say to your constituents, sorry, I can't do anything on this issue for another 4 years until we can compete to have a Republican in office. I just think the people of Wisconsin will not accept that. And frankly, they don't accept it right now, but gerrymandering has insulated Republicans pretty significantly, right, from the will of the people, popular opinion about how Wisconsin should be governed.
The accountability just has not been there for them because of the maps. Yeah.
Right. But I do think that when they look at this election, and again, a Wisconsin landslide for Governor Evers, I just think it is going to be hard for them to continue with this same level of absolute partisanship. So I do think we'll be able to make some progress on some of those issues. We have to, right? We have to. The people of Wisconsin really demand it. And it's for all of us now, but it's also for the future. We know that the last 10 years have really impacted Wisconsin's long-term competitiveness and people's desire to live here in the state of Wisconsin, right? But I think we have an opportunity now to collectively look forward and say, all right, we were all just elected. We're going into a fresh term. Let's try and find things we can agree on that will move our state forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot, I think there is a lot that the state can agree on. We see the polling, we see the data, there's a lot of opportunities for Wisconsin to come together. I think, you know, one of the things that Tony Evers talked about in his reelection campaign, I believe he said at the debate that it would be a top priority, is shared revenue. And I think that is going to be a big part of the conversation, you know, on the surplus as well. Or, you know, is that going to be a priority for you coming into this next session?
Absolutely. You can tell when someone pays close attention to Wisconsin politics when they're like, it's all about shared revenue, local government funding, right? The ratio funding that goes municipalities from the state. And I've seen some incredible graphics. You know, we can maybe find one to link here in the show, but just to demonstrate the income taxes that the state brings in and how they have increased over time and really how shared revenue has stayed flat. That was the agreement, right? That the state had with local governments, that they would put some of those resources towards libraries, first responders, you know, public health departments in our local communities. And we have not at the state level kept up our share of the bargain. And every municipality is feeling that. The big ones, the small ones, there is wide agreement. No matter which party is in control of those local governments, you will hear folks say, this is a problem that needs to be addressed because we simply cannot meet the needs that we have in our local communities for essential services.
Yeah, I think, and we've seen so many of those issues kind of go to referendum over the last few election cycles because that shared revenue has stayed flat as the income taxes have gone in, come up. You know, I'm based in Milwaukee, so I, you know, see a lot of this through a Milwaukee lens and have reported a lot about this over the last few years with the recombobulation area. But I think some of the shared revenue numbers are so, you know, because Milwaukee is a larger county and has these bigger numbers, like it can look more pronounced, but it is an issue that is impacting every municipality across the state of Wisconsin. So we've had a situation where the Republican legislature has starved local communities, and now they have this $5 billion surplus, and returning some of these funds to local communities to put towards public safety, public health, transit, you know, all these different types of priorities that local governments will need. So I think, you know, kind of realigning a part of that, I think it's going to be so important. And as Governor Evers said, it is his top priority going into the next term. So, you know, really an opportunity for some bipartisanship here. You know, there's an example from this election in Washington County. The Washington County executive has repeatedly criticized Milwaukee for defunding the police, and he had to put a ballot initiative on the ballot in Washington County to have, you know, more to raise taxes to go towards public safety. And that referendum failed. So then the local taxpayers are saying that we don't need to be on the hook for this because state government can and should be stepping in to increase the levels of shared revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does. It really cuts across partisan lines because do you know what? One thing that everyone in Wisconsin does not like is an increase in their property taxes.
That's right.
And a lot of people have voted for an increase in their property taxes to fund their schools, again, to fund those local services. But I think that you would see just incredible support statewide for people if Republicans were willing to consider at least a release valve, right, on shared revenue, because local governments were thankfully bailed out for a couple of years by the federal government through the American Rescue Plan and further funds coming from Democrats in Washington. But that is not going to last, right? We are already staring down the barrel of really significant challenges. Again, big, small, medium municipalities around the state. And so hopefully we will see some movement on that. I really think everyone's going to be hearing about that from their locals. And so hopefully we will find some agreement in the legislature.
Greta, is this the most potentially painful thing for Wisconsin Republicans, knowing that they might have to do something good for the constituents that might actually make the governor look good?
You know, it probably depends on the person. You know, I do think that we have colleagues on the other side of the aisle who have been trying to move forward these policies, but leadership has been telling them that they are not allowed to do that, right? We're not assigning, not saying they can move forward with a committee hearing. And so I think we will see sort of some of those members pushing on their leadership and saying, there's a childcare crisis in my community too, not just in Democratic cities, right? So we want to see some action on this issue. You know, universal 4K, helping with reading scores, right? We hear a lot from Republicans about reading scores, right? We hear a lot from Republicans about, you know, health challenges that people are having in their communities. It's time for us to actually do something about that. So we'll see. Remains to be seen.
Well, I think there is real opportunity for bipartisanship. I'm glass half full on this. It sounds like you are too, but you know, you never know. I mean, we've seen the worst from Wisconsin Republicans before, and like you mentioned, a lot of it does come from leadership, come from your Racine County counterpart in the western side of the county there, Mr. Robin Voss. So perhaps Speaker Voss, you can come to the table, get something done. I think there's a lot of people who want to see things get done. We've seen so much obstruction over the last 4 years, and that strategy failed. Voters rejected it. They did not want a Republican supermajority. They did not want a Republican governor. It's time to stop the 9-month breaks. It's time to stop the obstruction. It's time to stop gaveling in and gaveling out of every special session that Tony Evers calls and get some work done.
I'm with you, Dan. I'm with you.
All right. We have Democrats and Republicans can come together. It's time to get some stuff done. The election's over. I think we are coming up here to our next break, but I just wanted to thank you so much for joining the program today, Minority Leader Greta Neubauer.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for your reporting. And I think it's really important that we have these conversations and that we hold everyone who was just elected to account to do the work of the people of Wisconsin this session.
All right, I think we are headed to break there. Thank you again. This is Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin.